So I will give the summary of last four to recapitulate so we can connect with today. As we discovered that all of us, including plants and animals, have the same impulse, which is the force of the life to attain complete health and fulfillment. So it is not unique to human being. Even a plant, a little flower in the forest, will try its best to come through its peak flowering, although there are so many obstructions. Animals in the wild, they do same, or even domesticated animals. And of course, we humans are conscious about it. Why don't we attain that state? We discussed about various traumas of life and obstruction. If you ask my personal view, they are not really obstructions. They seem obstruction if we take in a negative way. Basically, they give us the full spectrum of life. Sufferings and pain are not negative unless they cripple us totally. Because only by going through them we can discover the whole panorama of life. So if we are not feeling any obstacle in the life, life will be very limited. It will go on and on, go on in a cycle, and it will be all finished. So we can take this in two ways. It may be negative or it may be positive. That is why suffering in all tradition played a very important role to discover ourselves fully. Unless this suffering becomes totally disabling, then of course a detriment. So those traumas of life, and then we discussed how to reverse this whole thing. And the reversal was through practices and understanding our personality with which we were born. And that was the discussion we ended last time. So now the question is, what will be our experience if we go through it? Because some of them are known and some of them are unknowable. So in Soma we can express it either in these terms: known, unknown, unknowable. Of course, we described in different terms with different groups, but I would like to introduce this concept of known, unknown, and unknowable. What is known? Of which we are conscious. Our day-to-day life, our work, our education, our joy, sorrow, suffering, disappointments. So we constantly are in the ebb and flow and feel excited, suffer, have disappointment, achieve, lose, and that is how the known life goes on. But that known is only a small fraction. The conscious, very small, just 10%, 15% of totality. So the first thing in Soma is to make this known healthy, because this known can be unhealthy or healthy. And you can describe it in terms of ego or identity. So we are conscious And this is known, and what is known is ego or my identity. Now, ego can be unhealthy, or identity can be healthy, or it can be unhealthy. So, what is the meaning of unhealthy? Unhealthy means when we constantly suffer from anxiety, from despair, negative pattern, negative thought. So most of the time we go through it and we need help of others to cope, to live our lives. That means now this known is becoming unhealthy, this identity is becoming unhealthy, this ego becoming unhealthy. Are we clear? And any question about it? Because that is how we function in the world, cycle of the world. It is almost like on autopilot. Patterns are formed, we don't need a whole lot of consciousness. We go through the day, one day, every day with minor variation, which keeps us going. If this minor variation ends, then we will be in despair, because we need to feel that, listen, my tomorrow is going to be something little different, because that gives a sense of excitement and movement. But if you really look into it, actually it doesn't move. It's like a wheel of the car stuck in a snowbank, or classically Charlie Chaplin movies. You know, if you watch some of the movies, he's running to escape, and it is a very smooth floor, and it seems that he is moving. Actually, he's not. And the guy who is chasing him is looking at him, what he's doing. He's not running, really. So we have a sense of movement, not knowing that actually it is a cyclical movement. Ultimately, we don't reach anywhere, truly. One day, every day. But we have to have healthy, so we are not depending on others. We can cope with life. We can live our own life relatively independently. That is why in Soma, the first achievement, first attainment is healthy known, healthy identity, healthy ego. And it is a very well researched topic. Because what happens, we start experiencing sensations. So if we come to the science, it is the stage of sensations. Sensations mean I'm getting connected to myself, and the life energy which is flowing through the body, I'm becoming aware. And this is what interoception is all about in neurobiology, that I am getting connected with the life. Before that, I was connected with outer world mainly. Now I am connected to the life inside me. And that is such a well-studied topic, because they very clearly concluded that it brings us sense of well-being. Our anxieties are reduced. Our stress is reduced. Even in cases of autism, it gives them relief. So we are connecting to ourselves, and once we are connected to ourselves, our identity, our ego is established in this body. Because without that body self, what happens? We are just floating. So if you go into the process of anxiety, despair, eating disorders, OCDs, all kinds of illnesses which makes us unhealthy, there is a single factor: we are not situated in our body. And if body connection is completely finished, then we suffer from major psychosis. So bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, various kind of psychosis. Single factor is, I'm totally disconnected my body, I'm just living here. So there is no anchor, there is no grounding. And it is all known. So that is the first thing happens going through practices and discovering our personality, stage of sensation. At least we can function on our own. We call it healthy, but it is not healthy either. Because only thing, you know, we have is 10 to 15% of our totality. That is not truly healthy, but healthy in terms of that at least we are able to function more independently. I think we are clear about it. That is the first stage. Second stage is unknown. What is unknown?
Subconscious.
Subconscious. Exactly. It is a part of me, but it is cut off from me. So it is unknown to me. And what is this unknown is made up of?
Fear.
It has the dark or shadows of the past, but simultaneously it has light. Both. It has Luke Skywalker, it has Darth Vader. It has divine, it has devil. Both are coexisting. So in Soma, as we are established in healthy identity, we are anchored in our body, we have some sense of stability, then we have to push on and not be satisfied with it. And Freud said it very clearly, because somebody asked him, "Sir, you are making all these people through your psychoanalysis healthy." He said, "Not really, but I am bringing them from abnormal sickness to the normal sickness." So, because that was Freud, and that is not Freud's view. All sages, all great thinkers of the past, they said the same thing in one or the other way. That is why they always said, go beyond your ego. Ego is your trap, ego is your prison, ego is your sickness. Why they were saying that, although ego, as we discussed, healthy ego, but they said, no, this healthy ego, don't think it is healthy, it is a sickness. From that point of view.
Social mind.
Social. The social and cultural, because ego is nothing else, or our healthy identity is a product of our culture and society, and that is why we are disconnected from ourselves, because we become merely a pattern or representative of external world. And in the beginning, it is absolutely necessary. A child has to be rooted in ego or healthy identity. If some parents are planning that they should not give this ego, this child will be totally devastated. And if you really look at the children all over the world who were not rooted in culture, who were in war zone, poverty, they suffered. And even the immigrants who come here from different culture, their identity become disturbed. And they really suffer. Because they were very well established in their society, they were familiar. But now they are transported to Canada. And Meera can tell, you know.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, exactly, that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Physically, I fell apart. Like the number of surgeries and illnesses, everything. And I think all of it, I contribute to that your identity falls apart. Yeah. There's nothing to hold you.
Does that depend how old you are when you come? Because I was quite young when I came. I was like a baby. So.
It is much better.
Yeah.
once you are past 8 years, because 8 years your DMN, this identity structure in the brain, which is called default mode network, established, it becomes tricky. So before the age of 8 years, it is much better. As a baby, it's the best.
I'd done two moves by the time I was 13. I'd left my original country, where our whole family lived together within two blocks, and went to another country. We were very isolated there. And by the time I was 13, came to this country. And I found that that's where I found myself being very unrooted. I never was able to root myself into this place or with relationships, connecting became very difficult.
Totally agree, because that is how it happens. So that identity is very vital. It has to be a healthy identity. Without that, we cannot function.
It doesn't have to be a move from a, like that kind of thing. I mean, it could be a family disintegration or other things that your world implodes.
Totally.
And you lose your foundation.
That's right. Because in order to have a high, healthy identity or ego, a child has to be anchored in stability. So that is why this crisis now is going to be global. Already in Western world, a lot of people think our young people are narcissistic. They are totally absorbed in themselves. It's a wrong way. It's a wrong view of these young people. They cannot help because they don't have much anchor. Parents are busy, families are broken, there is no certainty of job, and then they are the part of this global culture through mobile, internet and all these things. So they are not firmly anchored into something which used to happen in the past, family, joint family, village, community, religion, a sense of country. Lot of these young ones are very, you know, lonely, and that is why they are glued, they become addicted to the social media. There is a reason for that. Because they are rooted in something, but that rooting is not good either, because it's virtual. Because for a healthy identity, I need to be rooted in my body. Such beautiful research, first time telling that without rooting in our body, our sense of self cannot be complete. It is impossible. It will be just free floating into ideas, into thoughts, into emotions. It has to be rooted in the body. But once I develop that, once we develop that, then the second stage comes, that is unknown. Because in unknown is my powers and also my darkness. But I cannot go to that unknown until I am stable. Because if I want to go to unknown, and that is where some therapists make a mistake. The right of it will take person into their trauma, to their past. It doesn't work. Because they don't know that how fragile the ego or the identity of this person is. It will fall apart. It has to be established first. And how we establish? To make sure we are grounded in the body. And usually we describe it as 5 points. Self-care, care of others, boundaries, and trust. Those are the 4 pillars of a healthy ego or boundary. So when we are bringing up children, child must be slowly taking care of himself or herself, telling us, I'm hungry, I want to go to washroom, I'm cold, I'm hot. Even very young, they start telling. So that means they are connected to their body, because if they are disconnected from the body, they won't care. So all those fundamentals, little things, or I'm feeling tummy ache, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep, I want to be hugged. Those are the fundamentals. Self-care and care of others. Care of others means not only, you know, demanding, but helping. Even children, I want to help you, I want to cook, I want to clean. Just like, you know, my granddaughter, my daughter cleans, so she will take the broom and start cleaning. Of course, it makes even more mess. But she's very keen that I must participate. So children's participation in household work, daily chores, is of vital importance, because that is how they learn how to take care of others. Little things. So she will come and clean my shoes and socks and hair and all over. It's such a, it's a blissful experience, this tiny life. So those two, and the third one is boundaries. Healthy ego need boundary, because later on these boundaries will disappear. There will be a spontaneous boundary, but in the beginning we have to teach the boundary. Otherwise people will violate the boundary. Strangers will come, they abuse physically, emotionally, sexually. But a time will come, there is no need, because we know intuitively, exactly, even on phone, we'll say, I have to go, I have some urgent work, we will talk again, thank you. So even at such a distance, we can understand, but in the beginning, it has to be. And the fourth feature is trust. Healthy ego means at least I trust one or two. Not whole. I mean, if we can trust five or six, that's a very big blessing. But even to trust one or two people, and trust means when I can say, okay, here I am, tell me what to do in times of crisis. That is the first attainment. And of course, the fifth feature of healthy identity, it is never in inertia, it is dynamic. So it doesn't stop. It is in movement. So we call it quest, search. I'm searching for more, more, more. I know whatever I'm offered is not enough. That is also a part of healthy identity. And as parents and grandparents, that is our first responsibility. Making sure these five features
to quest, mm-hmm. Is there a point where that becomes unhealthy as well?
Quest can become unhealthy, because sometimes we can go in wrong direction also, there is no doubt about it. And it happens actually to some people who can follow others in a wrong way and go in wrong direction. There is a possibility. But if healthy ego, person with healthy ego has healthy attachment to their family, to someone they trust, eventually they come back. So healthy ego means we tie a person with invisible, flexible attachment. So it is invisible. So a child or a teenage now, on this tangent going somewhere, but there will be a time when it pulled back.
So again, that starts with the
healthy foundation. Yes. If that healthy identity, if that connection is not there, trust is not there, most likely there will be very big problem. So from the very beginning, healthy identity means attachment. And then finally, this attachment has to be severed. Because once you are a point, then you say, listen, my umbilical cord was cut at the time of birth, but still I am carrying emotional umbilical cord. I have to cut it. Because then I am released. Then I become my own father and mother. I become my own parents. I am grown up now. I don't need parental figures anymore. So that is the second thing. Because a lot of people, I mean, everybody gets this umbilical cord cut, but the emotional cord is not cut. So we are always seeking these figures in corporation, in business people, in political leader, in gurus, in popes, and all kinds of search. Because if someone could help me, somebody could, you know, take me as a child, protect me. Finally, someday that protection has to go. Emotional umbilical cord. But that is folly. But the first part is, have to have that emotional umbilical cord. And that is what our religion, politics and money and all those things provide. They become very parental figures. And we seek protection. Because that is what they do. They become very patriarchal. They say, come to me and I will release you. I am the path of your salvation.
So that there will naturally become a time in the maturity of a society, where they will rebel against this system.
That's right.
When they're ready to gain that. It happens on every level.
Yes. First of all, it happens at the teenage level.
Right.
There is rebellion. But then person goes. And the second one is midlife crisis. The second time comes. But usually the entanglements are so deep, it is very difficult. Because it needs such energy to cut it all become very difficult.
Just a story. One of our neighbors on the street, her father just passed away at 93. And she was just telling me the story that, and she has a good relationship with her parents, but like anything, there's that emotional thing, and she's in her 60s. So she said, you know, Jay, I was talking to my dad. He kind of had a 2 or 3 month decline in health, okay? Lots of talks, right? Close talks. So she said, you know, I had to give him my emotional burdens and to cut it off. So she said, you know, when I was growing up, this, this, and this. And she actually said to him, what would you say to your father if you could? Because this was two generations ago. Even he said, what he would say to his dad was, how could you? Interesting, right? So that was the detail of that. So she just said, Dad, this, she just put her hands like this, is now yours. I don't want it anymore.
Right. Yeah,
and that was very freeing for her.
That's right.
Interesting.
Beautiful. So this is the stage of sensations in soma, something connected with the body. And once we are stable, we dive into this unknown, where all our darkness and light is there. And this is the stage of sensuality, a very big crisis. It's a very big crisis. Because to dive into this unknown and to making it known, because the whole idea of going to the unknown is to draw with my power, reclaim my powers, and use that consciously. Because I want to become a conscious human being. But in order to do that, we have to face all these shadows and darkness. My own hell. Because without that, we cannot discover. So it's a very big crisis. We call it somatic crisis. Because the world of sensations or ego is now completely dismantled. Because that was our security, that was our safety. And what we say, I don't want to be safe anymore. I'm letting go all safety, all security, all protection of any kind, whether it's parental, this word or that word of God, goddesses, prophets, angels, everything has to come to an end because they are all obstacle to meet my unknown. That is why it's so frightening. All our accumulation, all our possession, all our knowledge, status, prestige, whatever we had, that was a part of our ego. Everything has to come to a complete end in this moment. So basically we are in this abyss, dark abyss, and nowhere to anchor. That is why it's so frightening. But that is the only way. So most people actually, they enter into this and they withdraw. Not for me, I will try again. Once I am retired, once I am more stable and so on and so forth, time never comes. The unknown. And if we really dive into it, if we really clean, you will experience all mental illnesses in this realm. Because what we call mental illnesses actually part of the humanity. All of us have without exception, but they are deeply buried, so they never manifest. So what happened during pandemic? A lot of people in whom these problems were compensated, they were coping with it, they burst open. A lot of people think pandemic created this. Not at all. Pandemic merely, because it was a persistent stress, it broke the lid of the ego. Whatever was sitting there, it just erupted. But in this process, we consciously dive into those and we completely clean. This is the ultimate catharsis. And what is the result? Result is sensuality. So first stage sensation, second is we become sensual. This is the most beautiful stage. Sensual means we become like a child. If you really look into child's body, it is very sensual. That is why to hold a child, a baby, it's an extraordinary experience. Not only you can feel it, there is a particular perfume of the baby. If you stay with the baby for some time and not, you know, be busy in thinking and worrying, you will not only, because the body of the baby, just like any other animal or plant, it has its own pheromones, it has own neurochemistry. And that neurochemistry in this baby is of pure. So you can almost, it disappears. I think around the age of 4 to 5 months, 6 months, something like that. I mean, there are no researches available, but I'm talking about my experience. That is why to hold a baby, to touch a baby is an extraordinary experience, because baby's body is fully alive. All energies are flowing. They are still not inhibited. So we actually become that baby. Because after going into this unknown, we discover our power, we clean the darkness. We become innocent again. Because a child starts losing innocence around the age of 18 months to 2 years. And by the time child is 8 years, child is all lost innocence. Child became the part of the adult world. Competition, ambitions, power, possession, all those things, they come in big way. Even brain waves are changed, and now they are beta waves, typical waves of stress, normal thinking. So that is the stage of sensuality. And it is physical. So please, you know, because, I mean, we describe these things in terms of emotions and feelings and thought, but primarily I'm talking, it is something biological. So we go back to our childhood, reclaim that child. Because child and adult, when this transition is happening, we talked about default mode network structure, that all this conditioning, all this programming, all this society and culture sits here in the prefrontal cortex and other parts of the brain. Cingulate cortex is another one. It is called default mode network. Why it is called default mode network? Just like in thermostat, there is a default setting. So temporarily you can change, but in 24 hours it will come back to the default setting. Same thing happens in us. We try to change ourselves. We try for 6 months, for 1 year. Then what happened? We revert back to the default. It's sitting. People feel so happy that, listen, you know, I'm changing finally. But then, and they feel so and then they try again through a different method. Here that default mode network is shattered. It's no more a default. It is a network. We don't destroy, but default part is finished. Default means you will not able to pull me unconsciously into it anymore. But if I want to come to you consciously, then no problem. You are my slave. You are not my master. What that means? I have to live in culture. I have to live in a society. I have to live in family. And all those nitty-gritties are involved. So I can act very easily. So if I'm meeting my uncle, I will behave as I'm his nephew, or my mother, or my employer. I can act, but underneath I know I'm consciously acting. I know I'm putting a persona because I have to function in the society, and that is perfectly okay. But inside that, I am myself. So that's the beauty of this, that it is no more a default. Because how many of us can leave, quit society? We cannot become outsiders. No, I will never recommit. I mean, there are people who became outsiders, who quit everything, say, I don't care about my family and my older parents or my children. I will never advise unless compulsion is so much. But I have to break. And that is what happens in unknown, in the stage of sensuality. All my blocked energies are now. we become alive. Can you imagine these energies are flowing? You feel so alive, full of passion. And all these cleaned all my past trauma, all our past trauma, and it hits each cell, purifies at the cellular level. So it is a cellular catharsis, it is a cellular cleaning. It is cellular relaxation. It is cellular peace. Each cell which was affected by all that past is now functioning with its biological rhythm. There is a peace, because original nature of the body is peaceful. Body demands. So body's peace is disturbed when it is hungry or cold or pain or uncomfortable or there is a danger. If that is taken care of, body's nature is peaceful. Our mind is not. So despite achieving all that, still our mind is in stress. So that is what happens. Child's body means just like a child, just like a dog or cat. You feed, you protect a little bit. A dog will go to sleep, a cat will, it won't care. Until the next, you know, hungry. Now a dog is looking, where is my food? I'm feeling same thing happens. So this sensuality, whole body becomes, why I call it sensual? Because it gives us the same pleasure as gentle orgasm. And in between comes the full-fledged orgasm too. But it is all asexual. Because the same centers which were responsible for actual sexual orgasm, they start functioning on its own now. Same neurochemicals are flowing. So you are making love to yourself non-stop.
And it's a full body sensation.
It's a full body.
It's a full body sensation.
Would you say, repeat it louder?
It's a full body sensation.
Okay.
Yes.
I experienced it once after a large catharsis, and it happened once. My heart just opened, and my whole body. And then never again. Never again after that. Yes.
You want to say something, Mira?
No.
Excuse me. Throat is a bit irritated.
Pardon?
No, it is here actually. I'll just take some. That is why somebody said, you are making love with one woman, one man, 10 women, 10 men, 100 men, 100 women. I am making the love with the whole universe. Because once you have this state, it seems you are really physically making love. Everything. Romancing with life. Not romancing with something. Romancing with life.
Could that be achieved also through meditation? Like
yes.
Those chemicals.
There are so many ways to it. But we brought this point in Soma very clearly. So sensuality, becoming a baby. The baby has that same sensuality. Because feature of sensuality is flow. So sensuality we are connecting with very well researched topic, flow. Flow is internally rewarding. Person is focused. There is a sense of well-being and creativity. And that is what happens in sensuality, the second stage of soma. Actually, and if you want to go more detail, there is a phenomena, aesthetic chills. Anybody heard this? Chills. Chills. Chills means you are listening to the music and then you just you goosebump and slowly you just, you know, you go into as if it's like your orgasmic experience. Yeah. And it is not uncommon. I didn't realize they did so much research. So if you just Google it, aesthetic chills, they represent, you know, the moment of what I'm talking, where you are always chilled in sensuality. Unknown becomes the known. We become the master of our life. We are not anymore slaves. That is the second stage. From known to the unknown, making unknown known, living consciously. We are in hold of our inner forces, and this body tells us. Now the ground is fertile for the last step, unknowable. That unknowable can never be the part of the known. But that is the ultimate. It is completely transcendental. Because from once this stage is established, then one day we will find we entered into it. No power, no will, no thought can ever do it. It happens or doesn't happen. And it is not an experience. The reason being, in this state, there is no mind, there is no thought. So there is no one to comprehend what it is. So that is why it remains unknowable. But the question comes then, how do we know there is an unknowable? We transcend and then we come back, it leaves its residua, its memory, its imprint. And a very common comparison is done. We all go to deep sleep. Now, if I ask you, what is the experience of deep sleep? Can you tell me what happened during deep sleep?
You have vivid thoughts or memories, which you may not be able to recall, but I find when I'm in my deep sleep, it's really vivid sort of things are occurring, like emotion. I feel my body is in emotion, or I feel my body is tightens up, and then I wake up, and I don't really recall all the fine details.
Because in deep sleep, mind is not there. That is why it's called deep sleep. It is like coma. It is like unconscious.
But when we're dreaming, that's a different state.
That is called dream sleep. So waking state, dream sleep, and deep sleep.
Which one happens first? Deep sleep happens first, then dream.
That's
right.
Yeah. So what happens, you know?
I always thought they go in order, but yeah, it's not.
But how do you know? You slept, you were in deep sleep.
That
That's
right.
Dream sleep,
isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But we know because there is something left over in the morning.
I had a good sleep.
Oh, I feel so good. I feel so refreshed. I am energized. So deep sleep can never be the part of completely known, but it leaves its afterglow.
So if you wake up tired, or restless, or does that mean you've not had deep sleep?
Yes. That means because of some reason your deep sleep was not enough.
That means your mind was active throughout the night.
Throughout the night.
You couldn't delete the mind.
Because the beauty of the deep sleep is it repairs everything. Because growth hormone, various neurotransmitters. Because during the dream, your whole body is very active. I mean, you are not acting in the outer world, but a lot of action is going on in the brain. It is the deep sleep which finally heals, repairs, bring everything to harmony, homeostasis.
So we don't necessarily have that every night, is that true? We don't have deep sleep every night?
No, we always have. It is an impossibility.
Just might not be?
Not enough.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Can we enhance it? We,
of course. Oh yes, definitely. You can completely change. It is under our control, you know, sets of majors. Unless there is a brain deficiency of something, but otherwise, yes. So that is the unknowable, the final leap. And how do we know? Because of this leftover residue. We are released, we are absolutely free. Everything is healed, everything works with its own biological rhythm. We are liberated. And that liberation is always in the background like a hum. Because time to time it will come on forefront and then you are there. Then you come back and then it goes into the background. So you are always aware of its presence. Just like a drone in a musical concert. So if you listen to Indian classical music, there is always in the background a uniform, homogeneous music is going on. On the backdrop of that, the musician does this symphony or raga, as we call it. So same thing happens. So from the known to the unknown, from unknown to the unknowable. And whatever can be achieved and attained in this lifetime, we already attained. Everything is cleaned, everything is cleared. Nothing remains to be gained, except that we have to function in the world according to our personality. So we are fulfilling our destiny. We don't become passive, we don't withdraw. So if I'm a healer, then I become a different kind of healer. If I'm engineer, I become a different kind of engineer. Because now this engineer is not only the engineer in a limited company, that engineering is connected with the whole universe. So it's a very different kind of engineering happens. I'm a doctor, I'm this, I'm that. All is changed because everything expands. Everything becomes free. So starting first session with the basics and the whole journey is completed. And it is done through our physical body. As I mentioned, all three cosmic forces of matter, energy, and consciousness are in this body. Any thoughts, any questions?
Wish I took notes today. It's
all recorded.
Oh, I didn't realize you were recording, okay.
Science will reach up to the unknown. Science will never reach unknowing. All laws of any kind of science, they break down at that point. But unknown, yes, they will map it, quantify it, measure it, yes.
I forgot, this unknown, unknowable is when you're unconscious, deep sleep. So what's, well, that's unknowable. Well, that's unknown, is deep sleep?
No. Unknown is subconscious.
It's subconscious.
Dreams.
It is a dream.
Subconscious and deep sleep are two different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Subconscious is where your dreams are happening. That's why a lot of
that's the dreams that don't make any sense. So
a lot of them don't, but eventually they make a lot of sense. You're gonna have more dreams that are more meaningful. But a lot of them also organizing the mind and, you know, kind of cleaning it.
Okay.
A lot of action happens.
Because dreams are four types. The first type is doesn't make any sense. That is the brain's way to let go of the information. Second type of dreams are about immediate problems which you are facing. You are worried, something happened, connected with family, job. Third type of dream tells you about your long-term expectation from the life. That you have a dream, you have ambition long-term. That dreams are recurring, constantly coming. You are climbing a mountain you cannot climb. You are walking, trail never ends. You want to fly, you fall back. Last type of dream is very huge dream, in which God may appear, Jesus may appear, Buddha may appear, symbol of Om, king, eagle, sage, mother. Those are the symbols of transformation which are used by humanity for, you know, we don't know since when. So there are four types of dreams. First type of dreams are the most common, don't make any sense because they are the information which we gather, brain wants to, otherwise brain will explode. It can't function, so it has to constantly release this energy of the day. So dream world is fascinating. If we are able to decode it, it can help us a lot. Because it is inner guide.
Is it possible to be having dreams that are from a previous life?
A lot of people think who believe in reincarnation, they say that actually it is penetrating. And from their point of view it makes sense because what is reincarnation is just a memory.
Right.
And any memory can come into the dream. Because
I just wonder, because I'll have some dreams where I have this vivid recollection of a place that's so consistent. And I have it over and over again, and I've never seen a place like that.
Right.
Like, I have no idea where they come from.
Yeah.
But yet it's so vivid that I've lived there, and I've been there. I can't think of any other way that
that's right, yeah.
From some prior existence.
Yeah.
Maybe in another galaxy.